Hello and welcome. I'm Tara, the founder of Raising Resilient Children. I support parents with the tools and skills they need to become the parent they want to be. Using my signature framework, the language of kindness, and parent clues for problem solving, I teach you ways to make parenting easier while fostering connection and building essential life skills for resiliency. As a longtime educator, former preschool owner, and parent, I have been working with parents and children for over 20 years. From this experience, I know there is no cookie-cutter approach to parenting, and information can be overwhelming. Let's tackle some of this by having some important conversations and digging into some different topics. So the other day, I saw this hilarious reel by MomComNYC on Instagram about what "be careful" means when a parent says it. And it prompted me to finally sit down and do this episode because it's something I've been meaning to talk about for a really, really long time. It was funny because it was totally true, but it was also funny because I think we're overthinking some things and not putting the pieces together for others. The gist of the reel was this. When a parent says "be careful," what they actually mean is don't do XYZ because you might fall and hurt yourself to the point where I will have to take you to the ER and we don't have time for that. And then, like most advice, the caption then followed with "be careful" isn't specific enough. There's a lot of advice out there related to scripting the things you say to your child. I'm not saying language isn't important. I have an entire module dedicated to it in my program, and I talk, no pun intended, about it a lot. My signature framework is called the language of kindness. But I think we've gone overboard on some things by overcomplicating them and then oversimplifying others to be more attractive for a fast fix. So I ran a preschool for 7.5 years. This means I spent the better part of my day talking to 2 to 4 year olds for about 6 to 8 hours a day. This doesn't include the time when my children were in that phase. It was well known that I believe in treating children with dignity and respect, that I use big words and I explained a lot of things. I never made a habit of talking down to children, but I did speak in age-appropriate ways, and that means clear, concise language, especially when it matters. I'm going to admit it. I fell for some of this stuff too, and I berated myself for not being more specific. As I read more and more advice on how to consider how you speak and be mindful of the things you say, something just wasn't sitting right with me. Some of it, I do it intuitively, but other recommendations caught me off guard, and at first, I really couldn't quite put my finger on it. This was particularly true of the advice around "be careful." The advice is clear. Don't say "be careful." It's not specific enough. And then after every single time you read it, you see this super detailed explanation of what you should have said or what you should say instead. So this got me to thinking, could I honestly say more than "be careful" in a cautious situation, and should I actually be saying more? The answer that I came to was no, and here's why. Detailed instructions in place of "be careful" are not being heard. So 2 to 5 words and then la 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 la. This isn't just young children either. I know a lot of people, preteens, teens, and adults, who tune long sentences out as well, particularly when they are deeply engaged in doing something or being directed at a time when they really aren't present to engage in a listening. I started to pick up on a trend with this sort of mindful language and approach to thinking about language with children. Simple phrases were being turned into these mini lectures. I'm going to be honest, nobody has the time or energy for that. And the real truth is, kids aren't listening, or they're too young for that kind of learning complexity of language and instructions. I think this is why so many parents are getting increasingly frustrated with navigating everyday situations. You're saying all the right things, or what you've read you should say, and it's not really working out. Then you feel like your child isn't listening. And the truth is, it's kind of true, but it's not entirely their fault. And it's not really yours either. Let's dig in a little more. If it's truly a "be careful" moment, you don't have time for detailed instructions. And here's the real clue. Is the problem the words "be careful," or is the actual problem that it's being overused? That in our overpresent status of parenting, we're saying something a little too often? That "be careful" has become the go-to for little things and big? This leads me to part B, the advice that "be careful" is not specific enough. Okay, this is where I actually think we're doing a serious disservice to children's intelligence. We feel that we need to detail for them what it is they need to be careful of. Here's what I know from all that time with preschoolers. Be careful meant Tara is warning me of something and I need to slow down and figure it out. I might add something like, be careful the ice is slippery to add some specificity, but clear, concise, and succinct is the goal. And I didn't use it for climbing things on the play structure. I used it for situations where a child needed to be careful, where ER level of risk was happening. I asked in my IG stories the other day what people thought of the reel, and a couple people responded with some simple things that they say. Instead of be careful, they say things like, I notice, or be aware, where this means be aware of others, aware of body, aware of surroundings. Someone else shared that not one child has ever been more careful because they were told to be careful. This is what happens when we use certain phrases too often. I also see this with the word stop. To learn to respect a word, there must be consistent follow-through. There must be language development and reinforcement. I call this onion language, the idea that our words are only as meaningful to children as the layers we have built up for their understanding. And we as adults hold a great deal of weight behind our words because we've built our experience and understanding around those words. But unless you take the time to do the same for children, their layers are not as developed and they only understand one or two of the layers. The same is true when we are ambiguous with our words. Stop and be careful are such great examples. Stop is only validated some of the time, not all of the time, and this makes it hard for children to understand when it really means what it should. Key piece, taking the time to build the language in many areas, not just tricky moments or moments of high energy and excitement. The same can be true of be careful. Do we overuse it and therefore kids don't see how specific it could be? And now for a quick break to tell you about something special. Are you looking for a fun way to introduce emotional regulation and the importance of building tools for your feelings? Introducing The Adventures of Teen Brain, a comic picture book with a playful take on emotional regulation. Your child will become the superhero in their own teen brain story. They will learn how to handle the daily stress storms of life, ways of keeping their emotions brain from evolving into T-Rex level dino brain, and see how fun and important it is to build tools and skills for their feelings. This adventure was playfully brought to life by social-emotional expert and founder of Raising Resilient Children, Tara Grado, and Amazon best-selling cartoonist, Jerome Cabanatan. Find it worldwide on Amazon or head to the show notes to purchase your copy. Now let's get back to the show. Keeping all this in mind, I really think the issue is not always about getting more specific in the moment. It's getting clearer about when and how often we say something like, be careful. I also think the lengthy speeches are far less meaningful than trusting our child who needs to take some caution and figure out what it is they need to be careful of. Children are play-based learners. They learn best through movement and interaction. Yet, we are talking more and more, and I actually think children are learning less essential life skills as a result. Again, I'm a huge advocate for language, but not in this way. I also think the things we are afraid of are impossible to protect our children from. Part of learning and growing is falling, tripping, bumping, and bruising. I fully put my hand up there that I have also had moments of overprotection, that even running an outdoor and play-based preschool, I have some discomfort with exposing children to certain kinds of risk. But one way I managed this was by making sure they had the gear to protect them. For example, helmets for our very icy play space, and guidelines for safer use of things like climbing structures. So instead of protecting them, I thought of how to strike a balance. For example, in my play space, children would need to show certain skills had been met to use certain elements. I didn't help children climb. If they couldn't get on the play structure, they had to figure it out. So instead of physically helping them, I would offer assistance as a non-contact spotter. I would also teach them about making sure they had fall spaces around climbing walls and such. If you are climbing up a steep surface, make sure nobody is standing below you. And if someone is climbing, make sure you aren't under them. This kind of stuff. This is how you teach children to understand and assess risk. You also teach them that hard work is rewarding and doing something by yourself independently brings a great deal of internal pride. To do this, you also have to navigate how you feel about watching your children fail until they succeed and that not all disappointment can or should be fixed. Many years ago, I attended a workshop by one of the leading experts in natural play for children, Adam Bienenstock. He was talking about modern play structures versus the more natural ones and how we physically help children play on modern structures in a way their bodies can't actually handle. And then when their bodies can handle it, they're bored by the limits of what they can be offered. So they tend to do things like climb in relatively unsafe ways, like getting on top of the climber and things like that. The idea he presented was that in more natural play environments of trees and rocks, one can only climb as high as someone can fall. So if you're younger, you can't climb higher than your body could typically handle. You don't have the grip strength, the coordination, all those kinds of things. So you can't fall very far. When you add age-appropriate assessments for risk with this concept and you raise children to be more capable of making decisions, what you see is actually less injuries overall. Yes, there will be some minor injuries, but mostly in line with what their bodies can handle and recover from. Something that has stuck with me is him saying that modern play structures are designed to aid children and remove some of their problem solving, so they take risks that they can't actually handle, and quite often are being aided by adults to navigate the elements, which actually leads to bigger injuries because children don't get good at assessing manageable risks. I'm oversimplifying things here for brevity, but I'm sure you get the idea. So here's the thing I remind myself of. It's a lot easier to trip and fall when you are small, and if you don't get skills for tripping and falling when you are younger, it hurts a lot more when you are older. Children need to know how to navigate risk, and sometimes that means they will misjudge. I think when we reframe our thinking in this way, it's possible to see that be careful is for those situations where your child is truly at risk and isn't making safe choices versus they might trip or misstep or not do something perfectly, like walk across the log without slipping or whatever the case may be. I do think there is an element of perfectionism or accomplishment that can be underlying some of our expectations of children's play. We don't mean for it to happen. It happens because the alternative to not doing it perfectly means tripping, falling, dropping off the monkey bars, not getting up the entire ladder, and so on. In other words, you can't actually safely fail. Okay, I know there's been some really hard truths in this message, that what I'm saying is that it's us and our approach to risk that needs to be evaluated versus changing the way we speak about everything. We have become risk averse, and in our discomfort, we have become ever present in our children's lives, guiding their every move. When we pause to think on this for a moment, we realize we are creating some of our own problems, and scripts and language aren't actually going to solve it because those are just band-aids that overlook the root cause. Children are actually pretty amazing at being careful when they're taught how important that word can be. When you use it for everything, it's not specific enough, but lengthy explanations isn't the answer either. As I ran out my thoughts on this topic, I think the idea is actually applicable with a lot of script type strategies. For example, scripts for our feelings tend to focus on what to say in the moment, but don't build skills for the underlying feeling. Knowing what you should say in a tricky moment won't help you identify the root cause of the tricky moment. As I said, not all scripts are bad, or that changing our language in tricky moments isn't a good idea. They aren't, and I definitely use some of them myself. But detailed scripts for everything means you probably aren't being heard, and you often sound like you're talking like someone else. In a sense, it sounds fake. But more importantly, is changing the way you speak reflected in taking that next step, digging a little deeper to the why? Talking more isn't always the best solution. In fact, it might be having the exact opposite outcome of what you were trying to go for. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified when future episodes launch. For information on how to connect with me, head to taragrado.ca, or you can find me on Instagram at Raising Resilient Children. Until next time, thanks again for listening to the Raising Resilient Children podcast with Tara Grado.